should newsstand editions carry a premium versus direct?
Why are we paying more for the same comic book?
That's the question we're going to answer on today's podcast. So welcome to another Magic City podcast. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are
George.
I am Paul.
I'm Jimmy. And as you can tell, we're going to talk about newsstand versus directs and how we personally feel about them and how how the facts say the prices should be.
So it's a highly debated topic in some circles, right?
Some? I think in the consensus is newsstand is more valuable, more everything than direct.
Yeah, it's crazy how people, how this, it's become like an animal within itself, right?
Yes, and depending on the book, it commands 2, 3, 4 times a premium.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Which is ridiculous. So for those of you that don't know, direct editions started in 1979, mm-hmm. I believe, yep. When local comic book stores started popping up, because before you were only able to get comics on newsstands, which was the metal rack. You were able to get them at bookstores, grocery stores, or those places where you buy a newspaper, like periodicals or the newsstands in New York. That's why they're called newsstand.
Right. Yeah.
Anywhere where you can pick up a newspaper.
Exactly. So, and it all boils down to, just like everything in life, money.
That is a fact.
So comic book companies would sell the newsstand comics to the newsstands, and then anything that they didn't sell, they could return and get their money back. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, capitalism 101, once money comes in, it doesn't go out.
Correct.
So it doesn't want to go out.
So they came up with this whole thing, and it was honestly like a perfect storm trifecta. You know, local comic book stores, there were actually stores dedicated just to the hobby, started popping up, and they tried to sort of find the best revenue generating output where they are not left with unsold copies of unpopular books. They don't have to get money back. They don't have to pay transportation costs. They don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff.
And it's interesting because, and this is, you know, a topic all within itself, when the local comic book store started popping up. Mm-hmm. Before it was all newsstands, all of a sudden, this new business model came out. This new business model emerged to sell comics, and the publishers weren't really ready for that. Mm-hmm. So this is what kind of leads into the newsstand versus direct edition.
Yeah.
It was mainly just done so that the publishers knew which books went to newsstands and which ones went to comic stores so that they knew the books that were coming in were newsstand.
Exactly. So the whole thing was, so with newsstands, they would pay for it. They were unsold. They would pay back for it. And they would pay probably a little bit more of a premium for it. They weren't getting as many high margins. As opposed to a comic book store, they get the discount up front, but the comic book company never sees that book again.
Right.
Which is where the practice originates of ripping off the cover. Mm-hmm. So you can send the publisher proof that you destroyed the comic and you weren't double dipping.
Exactly.
Well, and that was also to save on shipping for the publisher.
Correct.
Because yeah, all you have to do is stick one page
in the envelope. Send 100 books back or 100 covers.
Right.
Yeah, now it's send me a picture in email.
You know? But I mean, it's interesting that back in the day, you know, we take LCSs for granted now, but what a concept that comic books would be sold at a comic book shop. And, you know, newsstands didn't have back issues. Newsstands didn't have bins that you can dig through. It was the book of the week, the book of the month, and that's it.
Because everything would go back to the comic book publisher because that's it. It was done.
Yep.
Yeah. Now that you had comic stores that had that couldn't return their inventory, they started having back issues.
And that's the birth of the dollar bin and the back issue bins.
But also with that comes, if a book got hot, they were able to sell it at a premium a couple of weeks later if now suddenly people are looking for it.
Correct.
Yeah, there was the whole, you're building up an inventory. Mm-hmm. It was funny because when you look at the facts and you look at when newsstands came into about and direct editions, and this goes back to the thing, newsstands are more desirable because there's less of them. Not really.
Depends
what year you're looking at.
Depends what years you're looking at.
And yeah. Who you listen to, because there's not much information when it comes to tracking this.
No, because so up until recently, 2017, PGX and CBCS started listing newsstand editions. Mm-hmm. CGC started doing it last year. So all graded books prior to last year, whether they were newsstand or direct, are in the census, but there was no differentiation between them.
Well, CGC listed it as variant.
If it had a price difference.
Yeah, correct. They did it sometimes, but yeah, like the Star Wars one had a price difference, books like that. 1979, they start printing out directs. Do you know what percent of books were direct versus newsstand in 1979?
Practically nothing.
Nothing? Yeah, zero.
6% of all comic books produced were direct to market, meaning to the local comic book store, as opposed to 94%. I'm a business guy. I'm a facts guy. This tells me that any net book that came out in 1979, the direct should carry a premium.
It should.
It should.
But drum roll. But it's not.
It's not.
It's not. You find me a direct edition book from 79 that's worth more than the newsstand.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the main books that always comes into contention is ASM 194, which is the first Black Cat appearance. That came out in 1979. So, little known fact. So, we pulled all our data recently from Go Collect, so to get FMV and everything. So, right now, there are 10,663 graded books on the census, whether that's blue label, yellow label, green label, purple label. Of those, is a mix of newsstand and direct. Since they're since they just started last year, there's no census for the newsstands yet. 9/8, there are 495 copies that we know graded. Recently, a direct edition sold for 3,600. A newsstand edition sold 3,900. This is honestly one of the closest examples that we're going to present in the show today, because everything else has such a glaring difference.
So there's less direct editions of that book out in the market than there are newsstand.
Yes, correct. Based on initial print runs and distribution.
Based on the distribution numbers that we know of, because newsstand and direct were just coming into fruition in 1979.
It started, yes. Right.
So now, based on what you know there, what story will they tell you to get you to pay more for the newsstand of that book?
Oh, they're better. They were better cared for. You know, it's harder to have a book that you grabbed off the newsstand and kept it in pristine condition all these years.
There were so many destroyed, so you don't really know the number.
Yeah, all the newsstands returned them. You know, who wanted a female heroine at that time? Yeah. Like, they'll do that whole story. Yeah,
the convenience of there's nothing that can disprove what they're telling you because there's no actual numbers.
And look, let's put the numbers aside real quick. At the end of the day, you're getting the same comic book.
Yes.
You're getting the same story. You're getting the same art. You're getting the same amount of pages. You're getting the same cover. The only thing, the only difference is that one is a newsstand designated and the other is designated as a direct.
So are you getting the same comic book with a Mark Jewelers as well?
Well, Mark Jewelers out of the picture. We're not even talking about Mark Jewelers.
You're getting an extra advertisement.
Yeah, now you're getting, that's a different, totally different topic. But you're getting the same book.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything more. You're not getting anything less, direct versus newsstand. So based on the numbers that we see, yes, direct are more scarce than newsstands.
And at this time, at that time, the only difference is a strike through in the barcode so that the publisher knows what's newsstand and what's direct.
Great. And what I was getting at is the only thing that you have is the scarcity, quote unquote, of direct versus newsstand, whichever era you're looking at. Mm-hmm. It's the scarcity because you're essentially getting the same thing. Mm-hmm. The end product is the same thing. It's just one's more scarce than the other.
Absolutely. So moving into forward in time, direct starts taking up a larger share. Just as more local comic book stores start coming into fruition, you know, newsstands are going less. And it's like, you know, with anything, there's an age of revolution. Things start changing. Mm-hmm. So by 1986, it's actually a 50-50 split.
Yep.
They produce just as many newsstands as they produce just as many directs. I think that's a very telling point in the whole aspect of it because it only took 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see, if you look at the chart, you can see how direct starts at the bottom and then it just slowly overtakes newsstand throughout the years. It's a steady incline.
Yeah.
But you can see why. For the publisher, they're guaranteeing sales and they know how much they need to print. Right. Based on pre-orders, they know if the book is popular or not.
And now everybody's opening up LCS,
too. And technically, the percentages are different, exactly, mm-hmm. because they're probably still producing the same amount for newsstands that they were before, and now they're just producing this many more under a special barcode or indication mm-hmm. for the local comic book store. So it's not like print runs went down. For businesses, they still had to satisfy that demand.
Right. The difference is that they're not getting books back now. For the publisher, exactly. That's guaranteed sales, so they don't have to worry about it. They sold 100,000 copies, that's 100,000 copies. It's not, hey, we sold 100, but we might get back 60.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Book flops, like, that's just money lost at the end of the day from a comic book publisher. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. It continues to eat away the share of the newsstand all the way till 2013, where it becomes 1% newsstand, 99% direct, And technically, that is the end of the newsstand era. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Who do we have to blame for all these price differences and newsstands getting more expensive than direct edition, Paul?
Well, based on our research, Mile High Comics out of Denver, Colorado, was one of the first LCSs or one of the first comic book shops to actually differentiate newsstands versus direct. So during the mid to late 90s, they were, if you guys don't know Mile High Comics, they have this humongous inventory of comics. I'm like millions of comics. So they were going through a process of scanning these books and putting them on their website. Mind you, the internet isn't what the internet is today.
Yeah,
it's a very crude internet still. So they're scanning these books. People are ordering these books and they're asking for the ones with the barcode. So the owner of Mile High starts asking what's going on here. He gets word from LCS owners that he explains it to LCS owners and they're telling them, yeah, because newsstands, you know, they're more rare. That gives them the whole story. So then they start looking into it and then they start figuring out that, yeah, there is a difference between newsstand and direct editions. So they put a price scale on these things based on their scarcity, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So Mile High Comics was one of the first big retailers to not only differentiate, but actually charge more for newsstands versus direct or direct versus newsstands.
Those bastards.
Freaking guy.
Hey, Capitalism 101, I'm a business guy. If you have something that's differentiated and you can get more money for it, God bless you. Because if people are willing to pay for it, you know what? So be it.
And still, today, they wrote an article describing this whole process. And you can go to Mile High Comics, just Google Mile High Comics newsstand versus direct, and it's going to link you to the direct article that the guy wrote back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that explains the whole process that they use to see these newsstand versus direct.
So let's take a look at some other notable examples of price differential in the market, and then we can see your reactions. George, we'll judge your reaction. A Secret Wars 8, direct edition 9.8, recently sold FMV for $725. A newsstand, which it's 70% distribution
at that time,
$1,550, more than twice.
That's crazy. And the fact that somebody will pay that kind of money. I mentioned it once before. I'll say it again, but maybe not as harsh. Back then, it was whoever figured this out. Now we know it's Mile High. They figured out how to get people to pay more for a newsstand for the same exact book.
Yeah.
I previously called it a scam. That's being a little harsh. But you definitely pulled something over someone to get them to pay more for the same book.
I think it goes to the fact, the lack of information surrounding it back in the day.
Well, that and the story, because you really can't get 100% fact on that. You can say, yeah, it's scarce. But, you know, according to that timeline, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then what are they going to tell you? Yeah, but so many were returned or destroyed. Again, a number you can't prove.
Yeah.
So that's how they get you with the story.
No, a perfect example. Like, they have 10 direct editions in their box and one newsstand. Oh, this one's expensive.
Yeah, that one's expensive. Yeah.
You know what's funny is that the closer you get to that 50-50 year range is when you see, like, the biggest disparity in price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's 86, right, where you have 50-50 distribution.
86 is where it starts with.
So, like, 84, 85, then 86, and then 87, 88. That's when you have, like, the biggest price differential between a newsstand and a direct, which it shouldn't be. It should be probably closer together because you have pretty much the same amount floating around in the market.
Mm-hmm.
One that was interesting that's always coming into contention is ASM 300. Now, mind you, these are FMVs pulled from Go Collect. We've seen them lower.
Mm-hmm.
But an FMV 9.8 direct edition, where it's 70% of the distribution at that point, 1988, is $4,300. A 9.8 newsstand is more than twice.
Which is insanity.
Yeah.
So it's like $8,000 for a newsstand?
More than twice.
More than twice.
Semantics. It is insane.
That's crazy.
It's the same book.
You know, 70% of the distribution is, I mean, it's insane.
If you told me the newsstand had some kind of fold, a center fold, some kind of poster, something that the direct doesn't have, okay, fine, it's a variant. You're talking about a barcode. And back then, it was a difference between the art, which I think is much nicer than seeing a barcode.
So going back to that comment about having different a poster, Wasn't there a difference in Image or Spawn books in the 90s between direct and newsstand?
Yes. I think Image was the only person, that, the only publisher that, that did this.
Yeah.
Their Spawn books, their newsstands were a lower quality. So the pages inside were like the old school. They were like the newspaper paper. So how newsstand books were back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That grainy, that you could see the fibers.
Yeah.
And specifically, Spawn issue 9, the first appearance of Angela, the direct edition has a poster inside. The newsstand doesn't. So there's no poster, and the quality of the book, the physical quality of the paper is lower grade. So it's cheaper for them.
From a business point of view, it makes sense because you might get 50% of those back. You might get 30% of those
right.
back.
Right. It costs less to ship. It's the book doesn't weigh as much. It costs less to produce. Mm-hmm. Fine. People will pay more for that book.
For the newsstand.
For the newsstand version, which to me makes no sense. You're now getting a lower quality book that's missing something.
Yeah. It's just, it's... The market dictates the price.
And CGC labels that one as a variant.
That one's labeled as a variant because
it has a poster.
It's missing the poster and the page quality is right. different.
Yeah.
Because this is before, obviously, they were grading these before last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he labeled it as a newsstand variant, because there's a difference in the book.
You know another book that has no significance besides an iconic cover? Incredible Hulk 340. Everybody knows this book. It's Wolverine's claws where you see the reflection of the Hulk in it.
It's a cool cover.
It is a cool cover. Very cool cover. Came out in 1988. So it's a 70% distribution to direct. Mm. Cool. So there's a lot more directs out there. The 9.8 direct, $1,400. Does anybody want to take a guess at the 9.8 newsstand?
Double?
More.
Trice.
Less. $3,800.
Wow.
$3,800.
For a barcode and saying, hey, this one, you know what, a 9.8?
Yeah, 9.8, yeah.
This newsstand 9.8 stayed 9.8.
Yeah.
That's you pay double for, hey, it stayed a 9.8 even though it's a newsstand.
You're paying double for, at the end of the day, you're paying double or you're paying triple or you're paying however much you're paying for scarcity.
Yeah,
that's all it boils down to.
Perceived scarcity.
Perceived scarcity. That's yeah.
Because there's no facts.
Right.
There's how many of those books are there?
Yeah.
You know how many direct editions survived?
Yep.
You could say the same thing about direct editions. Right. How many survived?
You know what's funny? Going back to Super Fan Con when we attended it, ironically there was this gentleman that used to work for Marvel in publishing,
mm-hmm.
and he always said it. He's like. Because I showed him a book that we have that's an error cover. And I was like, oh, I did my research on line 10. He's like, there's no way for anybody to quantify that.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you that one probably slipped through my cracks. You know, because he says that we would throw away so many that were error, that were anything like that, that would never make it to the line. So the print run might be 100,000, but you'll never know how many actually made it out.
Right.
Because of, you know, things that you just deleted and there was no database for it. And it was funny because... where I showed him that Spider-Man book, and then he's like, you know what book is really low print run that he says it's like should command the premium? What If 105, first appearance of Spider-Girl. He saw that book on our wall. He's like, that book should command the premium. Not this one and this BS that they say, you know, direct versus newsstand. And we got talking to him for like 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and he would tell us the whole thing. So it's just funny that there is no facts, and even somebody that worked there told us there was no facts.
Yeah, because it's not something that they kept a record of.
Yeah.
It's that, you know how hard it is to keep a record of, I mean, you see those printing presses.
Yeah.
There's thousands of moving parts of that thing. You could have a batch of, you know, 100, 200, 300 that before somebody in quality control caught it, you know, 500 books got printed with that error on it. Then they caught it and they got rid of those books.
Yeah.
And they continue, but some of them might have gotten out.
Just like Lethal Protector, the white background cover, the black background cover, there's no number. There could be 100, there could be 100,000.
Right.
We don't know. And the funny thing is, the gentleman that told us all about that bought a modern book.
He did.
Yeah, it was for his daughter. Yeah. It was his first Spider-Gwen. So let's talk about another one that surprised me, and then we'll get into our own personal opinions on it. New Mutants 98, first Deadpool. Don't care much for the character, but he seems to have legs. You know, that's just me personally. A 9.8 sold for direct edition, $1,600. A newsstand, 9.8. Twice, 3,000.
What year was that?
That was 1991.
So this is way past the...
So this is already when newsstands are diminishing. They're less than 20% at this point.
Right.
Of the print run. I get it from a system point of view, you know, but I still
You could argue, but you could argue on New Mutants 98 that the newsstands are significantly less than the directs. You can make a valid argument for that.
Well,
you
remember, could. This is all that there's no factual. It's not like they have 200,000, 210,000 books were printed.
When you think about it, it makes more sense on a New Mutants 98 than on a Secret Wars 8, that there's less newsstands out there.
Yeah.
So you can make that argument for New Mutants 98 and the newer books until newsstand goes away.
You know
that there's less out there in the universe.
His distant cousin, New Mutants 87, first Cable, came out the year before. 98 Direct, 2,100. Guess what the newsstand goes for? 1,500. So this is actually an example where it's less.
And that's
probably... And I had to go through a lot of books to find one like
this. Yeah, and I'm sure that a lot of it had to do with the popularity of Deadpool, like...
Yeah.
With the movie and stuff, and him just being such saturated everywhere since Ryan Reynolds got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm. That's more of a character thing, I think, what drives that price. But yeah, I know it should go along the
way. It should follow the same
pattern. Deadpool. Right? Because it's only a year before.
Yeah. So, George... What's your preference, and would you pay more for a newsstand versus a direct at any point in time, or a direct versus a newsstand?
I think I've been very vocal. I will never pay more for a newsstand because it's the same freaking book. Actually, especially books from the 80s and 90s, I go out of my way to make sure they're not newsstand. Why? Because that little box has art on it.
Right.
Yeah, the shadow box, the bottom
shadow box where, you know, before, you know, I understand why they got rid of it. It's easier to, you know, for the publishers and the stores to scan it and know their inventory, know which is a variant, which one is it, which is a second print, like all that information is there. But it's cool art that now it no longer exists.
Yeah.
Paul?
They don't use it.
I see the side of scarcity, and I can see where people come from with that. But at the end of the day, I think it's BS. It's just a story that just grew legs and it just grew bigger than what people realize it. And I think it's anecdotal and it's kind of like folklore at this point.
It's a monster on its own.
It just turned into like this behemoth that just became something out of itself. And everybody says the same thing. Everybody repeats what they heard somebody else say before them, which they heard before them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to pay more for a newsstand. One, yeah, it's ugly with the barcode, but you're getting the same thing. You're getting the same product. There's no reason to pay more for the same thing.
So I agree with you guys, but I look at it more like, what book do I want and what grade do I want? If whichever's cheaper, that's the one I'm getting. More than likely, based on this podcast, it's always going to be the newsstand. But that's what I look for. I look for a 9.8, you know, price point.
I will say I've come across books that I bought and then I just sold when I found a direct edition that I found the newsstand that was cheaper. And then later on, I was able to find a better grade direct and sold my newsstand so I can get it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I said, well, I don't have it. I'll get it. And if I can sell it to get the direct, I'll get the direct.
Yeah.
Because I would rather have the direct.
Yeah. I just go on based on price point. Like if I want the book and the grade, I go based on price point at that point. I don't necessarily seek out a newsstand, but usually 99% of the time, the directs are cheaper.
All right. Let me throw a curveball though.
Okay.
We pick up a collection and there's a Secret Wars newsstand in the box.
Uh-huh.
We're going to sell it.
Yeah.
Are you going to sell it at a newsstand price or are you going to sell it as a direct price?
I'm going to sell it what the market dictates. And to throw that curveball back at you, what's our tagline? Reasonable and unreasonable offers.
Right.
If we put that newsstand price, but somebody's like, hey, bro, will you take this? Well, more than likely we will, and it'll be probably closer to the newsstand.
No, but if we put it at a newsstand price of 1,000 and the direct price is 500, we're gonna take 500 for it.
That we are, or we're not.
We're not. We're gonna take close to 1,000 for it.
We'll probably take whatever the offer is, but yeah. Right. Yeah, no. I mean the market dictates, and that's one of those things that, you know, the market dictates what the price is. What people are willing to pay for it is what they'll charge.
And that's what I'm trying to get at is that yeah, you know, we can say all we want that we'll rather buy direct than newsstand, but at the end of the day, if you pick up a book and you see these books, and that's why they're for sale at these prices, and that's why people ask and pay for these prices, because that's what the market dictates.
Mm-hmm.
And if the market says, you know, this book goes for 1,000, then it goes for 1,000. Until you change that market, nothing's going
to
change.
Well, that's why it'd also be interesting to know, for those watching, if you do collect it, are you collecting newsstand or direct, and why? Do you collect newsstand because you want to resell it? or do you collect it because you value the scarcity? Because there's a difference. Some people collect the newsstand to sell them, to be able to flip them at those prices.
I just collect the book.
And there's people out there that
there's people scarcity, that they will only go for the newsstand versions, regardless of whether they look at these numbers or not of the print runs. To them, it's like that it's a scarcer book, so they go after newsstands.
There's people that like collecting scarce books. And
which I don't newsstand falls into that, right? I think the drive there is the ones that collect it to resell, and then that drives prices up because they're that ball of like, hey,
yeah, it's a circular logic because people are willing to pay more because the folklore, the monster that this has become is insurmountable at this point.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of people have never looked at these numbers up close. A lot of people haven't realized that these numbers are, especially from the 1979 to 1986 and then 86 to 13. A lot of people haven't realized what is going on behind the scenes, and they're just going off of anecdotal data that people have been telling them for years.
That would not be surprising.
My favorite is when we go to cons and not the dealers we know and we're friends with, but you're looking at a book, you're just looking, be like, oh, I want to see that book. It's a newsstand. You still want to see it? I'm like, no, bro, I don't. With that introduction, I don't want to see it because you're going to try the nickel and dime me. You know?
It's like, do you want to sell it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, it's a newsstand. I'm
like, hey. Okay, bye.
Oh, yeah. This ain't my first rodeo, you know? It's like, come on, guy. Yeah.
Take your own, I guess.
Let us know in the comments below what you guys think. Newsstand direct, do you even care? Are you going by price? Or are you going by scarcity like George said? Or are you just trying to get and flip?
Or do you think it's all a bunch of bullcrap and then all the same book anyways?
Agreed.
Yep.
Okay, till next time. Wow, that was a hell of a podcast, guys. Make sure if you like this content and more to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Until next time.